In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
This is the I Spy Radio Show.
You and I have a rendezvous with destiny.
Keeping an eye on big government.
We the people tell the government what to do. It doesn't tell us.
The trouble with our liberal friends is not that they're ignorant. It's just that they know so much that isn't so.
And now, here is your host, Mark Anderson.
Democracy starts with fair, honest, and open elections. Unless you have that, you don't have democracy. Democracy depends on people of good character. Unless you have that, you don't have democracy. You have a government of the lowest possible ethics elected by the people willing to do the most cheating. And that's a big problem for the Democrats right now because they have staked out the position of being on the side of cheating. Democrats made a huge strategic and imaging mistake when DOGE started finding massive amounts of fraud, abuse, and corrupt spending. Democrats chose the side of defending the corruption, and that's a losing proposition. What they should have done was stake out the position that once that fraud and abuse was exposed, they should have gone all in to help. Imagine what a powerful statement that would have been. Wow, we had no idea things were this bad. We're going to clean our own house and get rid of Democrats that have been part of this fraud, and we're going to dig in and help find every penny of fraud to make sure this doesn't ever happen again. Instead, they chose the position of, don't expose our fraud. Sue and enlist the bunch of activist judges to stop anyone from looking, which makes them look guilty and part of it. They're on the wrong side of that fraud and on the wrong side of election fraud as well. Trump issues an executive order to clean up the rolls and to secure elections, and instead they claim elections are secure, but will sue you to stop you from looking. Some 15 Democrat state attorneys general are suing to keep dirty voter rolls. Now, why would they want that? And they have staked out the position that they actually want illegal immigrants in the voter rolls. They filed a lawsuit to stop the Trump administration from removing illegal immigrants from voter rolls, and they don't want voter ID or a number of other safeguards. Maybe Democrats should stop doing what's best for Democrats and instead start doing what's best for America. Right now, the Ticton Law Group is litigating the case in Florida Congressional District 14, where they are challenging the results of the 2024 election in that district after nearly 200,000 suspicious mail-in ballots may have changed the outcome of that election in favor of the Democrat because some of them could be fraudulent. And here's why it matters. This case could very well prove in court the existence of clone voters or modified duplicates where existing real voters have their identities copied and modified just enough to appear to be a separate individual and therefore be able to receive a mail-in ballot. If the court establishes fraud in this case, one can assume voter rolls are compromised in perhaps all 50 states. With a victory here, the ruling would give President Trump additional grounds to purge voter rolls not just in Florida but nationwide. And remember, Florida is a red state. If it's happening there, just imagine what's happening in blue states. To get some updates on that case and to talk about the broader issues of election integrity, I'd like to welcome back attorney Peter Ticton. He is the founder and managing partner of the Ticton Law Group with offices across Florida. Peter, welcome back. It's great to talk to you again. I'm really looking forward to this discussion.
Well, thank you. It's great to be here. This is really a fascinating situation because we are in a time of history when most people can't even imagine what is actually going on.
Yeah. Oh, it's amazing to think.
I mean, if you talk to most. Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say it's amazing to think 20, 30 years from now, people look back on this and say, wow, this is when they saved America by fixing these elections. So in this first segment, let's talk a little bit about these modified duplicates before we get into the updates on your case. We had talked about this in depth with you and also with Dr. Jerome Corsi, and I would highly encourage people to go find those shows on iSpyRadio.com, and we will provide links to those previous shows on today's show page, which is 15-17, along with a whole bunch of articles and resources to understand these fictitious voters. But I'd like to cover a few points we didn't have time for in our previous interview. Since you've been litigating this case, has anyone come forward and said, oh, all of those voters that you think are cloned, that's totally normal and it's not at all what you think it is?
No. I don't think that's possible. Because we've actually even had feet on the ground. And when you look at the clones, okay, I mean, what we were originally calling clones, we stopped calling them clones because this situation is difficult enough to believe in the first place. When you start giving it names like clones, it becomes even that much more difficult for people to grasp and believe. There's an old saying that that belief is the enemy of knowledge.
Hmm.
And that's what most of us are stuck with, because most of us don't get a chance to actually look at the evidence. So we really look at the news and we look at people that we see. Do we trust them or do we not trust them? And do they make sense? And so we really form beliefs about what's really going on in our world. But when you believe in facts, I mean, I'm not talking about belief in God or in anything spiritual, because that's a different thing. I'm talking about belief in facts. Okay, facts are usually proved by evidence. You either have the evidence and you can see that it's true, or you don't. And what we're looking at here is evidence of the voter rolls. Because we're on radio, I can't obviously show you the list, but I'm asking you to use your imagination as I explain what these lists look like. All right, so imagine, and there's two things that we found in Wisconsin, because we not only found the modified duplicates, which exist in Wisconsin and Florida, New York, and many, many states, but we found something very unusual in Wisconsin. And when I say we, I mainly mean Andrew Paquette, who was the one that actually found this. And what he found was that there were a lot of numbers that ended with zeros. So when he put it in the right order of numbers, so if you imagine if you had a numbering down a page of all the people in your family, and you're listing all the people in your family, and you have, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10, and then you have 10 with a different name, 11, 12, then you get to 18, 19, 20, 20. You got two different 20s, and two 30s, and two 40s, and two 50s. And throughout this thing, leading to thousands of extra names that are in the voting rolls, because every 10th name is a duplicate, not actually a duplicate, just an additional number that's the same voter ID number. So that's really strange in Wisconsin as to how they would actually use that. And in fact, it's probably an algorithm where one of those two people is an imaginary person that they're able to pull out and vote and put back. Hmm. And that's an easy algorithm because it's every task. But you can see it. I mean, that's the odd part. You print out, if you print it out and you put, you sort the column that has the voter ID numbers, you'll see that every 10th number is duplicated.
Hmm.
But the what we found in most states, and what we have here in Florida, where we have our lawsuit, is the modified duplicates. And a modified duplicate is this. So, you know, let's just say that you have one voter named Peter Tichtin, but I'm there four times or two times or six times. So I could be there, let's just say, two times. One would be Peter Tichtin, who belongs on the voter rolls because I'm a person and I've registered to vote. But then they copy my information. They copy and they may modify my birth date, but it's the same Social Security number. It's the same home address. It's the same telephone number. It's the same everything, except they changed the tax ID number, not the tax ID number, I mean the voter ID number. And by having a different voter ID number, this duplicate is able to vote as well as I'm able to vote.
Mm.
And these are scattered throughout to the point that there's at least in Florida hundreds of thousands of these, if not over a million.
Wow. Wow.
So this is enough. Yeah.
Well, that's pretty incredible to think that there could be a million duplicates there in Florida, because like I said, this is a red state. And if it's happening there, we can only imagine what's happening in these blue states. Okay, let's go ahead and take a break. Coming up, we'll be getting some case updates there from Peter Tichtin in the battle to expose not just the fraud that may have happened there in Florida 14, but has likely happened in districts all across the nation. Don't go anywhere. And welcome back. This is the iSpy Radio Show. We're talking today to Peter Tichtin. He's the founder and senior partner of the Tichtin Law Group, a team of legal strategists and trial lawyers with offices across Florida. His law firm is litigating the case challenging the results in Florida's Congressional District 14, where they allege voter fraud happened thanks to modified duplicates in the voter rolls. And speaking of those modified duplicates, logistically speaking, how do these clone voters, these fictitious voters, these modified duplicates actually vote? I mean, I assume when they're mailed ballots, they don't all go to some clearinghouse somewhere, but in different addresses. So who is filling out those ballots and mailing them back? I mean, and doesn't that imply an awful lot of people involved?
You know, this is part of the reason why I had a very difficult time accepting that these are real. The only reason that I believe that they're real at this point is because they're there and they're in the voter rolls. So I don't have all the answers. I don't know who's behind the curtain. I don't know who's pulling the lever. I don't know how they're actually getting into the computers, how they're pulling people out of the archives, making them current voters, having them vote, and then putting them back into the archives. How this is all getting accomplished, I don't know. What I can tell you is that the voter rolls are compromised. The voter rolls are set up for this purpose. I've been told by other people who have been involved with examining the vote from different prospects or different ways. You know, people have looked at the machines and so on. I've had people basically say this is where they get their ammunition. This is where they get, you know, the food for them to then feed to the machines. In other words, if you're going to have a machine that lies and says that there are additional voters that are voting in favor of Kamala Harris or something, you're going to, you know, they're going to have to find the voters someplace. I mean, they have to have names, they have to have addresses, they have to have voter ID numbers. So where do they get these people in order to be able to put them on the on the ballots? But, you know, the fact of the matter is that, I mean, yes, I have subpoena power. I'm a lawyer on a case that's being fought in Florida. I have power to make subpoenas and to subpoena, but I have subpoena power light. There's no way that I can get a hold of these computers. There's no judge that's going to give them to me.
Hmm.
But the DOJ, rather, is a different deal. The Department of Justice has a much stronger ability. They have people that can march into a place and just pick them up and take them.
Wow.
So they're going to be able to find out. Once I can show and prove, which I can, that the voter rolls are corrupted, then it's up to Pam Bondi. Then it's up to Kash Patel. Then it's up to the different people that are, you know, Tulsi Gabbard, whoever it is that's going to be charged with this responsibility. And I think that, in fact, the president, who knows about this, I think that he basically made an order and asked Tulsi Gabbard to basically start this investigation. So I think that we're on our way at this point.
Yeah, well, that executive order, I assume you're talking about the one that he issued on March 24th, preserving and protecting the integrity of American elections. And I'd like to come back to you on that one. However, you really got my curiosity going, because during the break there, you had mentioned that there's a tie-in here between what you're doing and also with the January 6th. So can you elaborate on that?
Oh, yes. Yeah, I'll be happy to. But in order to understand this, and this is something that, you know, most people just don't really get, is that when somebody steals the election, what we had here was something far, far more than somebody that cheated in an election with a few votes. What we had here was an insurrection. We had these forces that be, whether it's domestic or foreign, we had these forces basically take over our government. I understand that from Andrew Paquette, that if we were to get rid of all the voter rolls and make the whole country the way North Dakota does it, because they don't have voter rolls. But if we were to get rid of the voter rolls altogether, that about half the people that are Democrats sitting in the House of Representatives would be gone. That's how bad it is. Hmm. That's how much of a takeover there is. And look what happened in terms of 2020, in terms of Biden, who's in his basement all the time, beating Donald Trump, who had the country behind him. We know that something's wrong there. I mean, you don't have to look very far for 2020. All you have to do is realize there's four swing states. All of them are for Donald Trump. No state has ever stopped the count. four states stop the count overnight with Donald Trump in the lead, well in the lead.
Yes.
And the next morning, and they never communicated to each other, and yet all four states, for the first time in history, stopped the count at the same time. I mean, if you believe this is all legit, you know the old expression, I got a bridge in New York I want to sell to you. So, you know, the fact is that this was an insurrection. This was the taking over of our government. And look what happened over the last 4 years. If you had a foreign power that took over a government, they couldn't have done a better job in terms of screwing us up in so many ways.
Yeah. Well,
and I'm not going to opine as to which government. So when you asked me about January 6th, well, for 9 months, I worked directly under Donald Trump, marshaling the evidence in regard to January 6th. So what I said before in terms of seeing the evidence as opposed to listening to somebody that saw the evidence to get your opinions as opposed to knowledge, I have knowledge of these things. I've seen the evidence of what happened on January 6th. And what most people have no clue about is that January 6th was actually an act of insurrection, but not an act of insurrection by the MAGA people. It was an act of insurrection by the left. And I don't even want to call it Biden because he's not the guy.
No.
Yeah, he's just somebody. He's a pawn on the chessboard.
Figurehead.
The people that actually did this are very, very powerful, very sophisticated, and have been doing this for a long time. I mean, look what the left or the globalists, whatever you want to call them, not Americans, look at what these people have done. They've taken over our media. We finally got back X, you know, Twitter, thank God. But meanwhile, they took over all our social media, except for now X. They took over our big business. They took over our educational system. They've taken over our country to such an extent. And in 2020, they took over the presidency, the House of Representatives, and the Senate. That's what they are doing. That's what they did. This is not just a small little thing. This is our country going down the tubes, going to a form of government from which we could never recover. If we would have lost this last election, our gooses would be collectively cooked.
Oh, I absolutely believe that. If we had lost this, America would have been finished. Let's go ahead and take a break there. I'd like to pick this up on the other side of this break. Everyone stay with us. We'll continue this with Attorney Peter Ticton. We always want people to listen to the iSpy Radio show on the radio, but we also know that sometimes you might be trapped under a refrigerator and can't get to the radio. And we also have guests on who get pretty deep into their subject, and you might think, now hold on, I need to hear that one again. And that's why we have the podcast version of the show. The iSpy Radio show is on all of the major podcast platforms, and if you're listening on one of those platforms, do us a big favor and give us a thumbs up or like and subscribe. That helps other people find us. Spread the word for good information with just a couple of little clicks, and thanks for doing that. And welcome back. We're talking with Peter Ticton. He's the founder of the Ticton Law Group, which is litigating the case in Florida Congressional District 14, where they're challenging the results of that election after nearly 200,000 suspicious mail-in ballots may have changed that outcome thanks to modified duplicates in the voter rolls. And, you know, we were talking about January 6th there, and you were saying that it was, in fact, an insurrection. It just wasn't by Trump's side. And one of the things that I truly believe that there was voter fraud in 2020 is this fact that, you know, we got that same reaction when we asked questions about vaccines, is that you simply weren't allowed to question the results. You weren't allowed to question the science. And in this case, you weren't allowed to question the results of the election. And yet, you know, as you pointed out, we had these four states all suddenly stop the counting in the middle of the night. I remember when they did that in Pennsylvania, I thought, well, he's up by 170,000. I have never in my life seen anybody overcome that huge of a margin with that many votes already counted. And yet the next morning, lo and behold, he lost. And, you know, when it comes to creating and building trust,
with
not
one
being allowed,
vertical graph.
Say that again?
With one vertical graph.
Yes.
Okay. I mean, if you watch the graph of the count.
Yep.
It goes all the way till that moment, and then all of a sudden it's a line straight up on the graph.
Yes.
But, you know, it's absolutely absurd. It's what they needed in order to win.
Yeah, and so statistically, that's just not possible nor probable. that suddenly you'd have that many votes coming in for just one candidate and practically none for Trump. That didn't make any sense. You know, when it comes to creating and building trust, especially in things like our elections, not being allowed to ask questions is the biggest deal breaker. It's kind of like saying, well, here's this contract. Go ahead and sign it, but don't ask any questions.
Right. And what's a better way to stop people from speaking than to say, aha, look what they did, this insurrection. They killed 5 police officers, which is a complete lie.
Yeah.
Complete lie.
Yep.
No police officers died that day. There were 4 people that died, but they were all MAGA people.
Mm-hmm.
But I have personally seen videotapes of people that I understand, some are from Homeland Security, others are from different NGOs. And basically these people, I mean, we're talking about like a couple of hundred people on Zoom, and where the screens of the Zoom are videos recorded so that we have them and we know who these people are. As early as September of 2020, before the election, we have these people meeting and planning the takeover of the Capitol building on January 6, 2021.
Wow.
We have this. We have this evidence. We also have involvement by the Ukraine in terms of their involvement in January 6th. And I could go on in terms of details to show you how. But for the moment, I'm asking you, just take my word for it, because I've got the evidence of these things.
Has any of that been released to the public yet?
I've done my best. You know, I talked to the lawyers that were doing like the Colorado case for Trump, you know, in terms of the 14th Amendment, and they didn't want it. Nobody wants it. It just makes things more complicated. It would have complicated their cases. They wanted to be able to win it on the law, which they were able to do. So it's hard to criticize them because they won. But at the same time, this was the avenue. This was the way to basically show the world what happened there.
Yes.
Because we have all of it. We've got the peaceful crowds that were standing there praying. Some were praying, some singing things like God Bless America. Peaceful families, you know, children there. And then all of a sudden they start, and this wasn't the Capitol Police, this is the Metropolitan Police. One guy in particular who had an appetite for this started bombing these peaceful crowds with percussion bombs.
Mm-hmm.
And tear gas. So we have this. We have it on videos. We can see it all. I mean, this is what happened. They weren't an unruly crowd that was looking for trouble. They weren't breaking windows. The people that ran around to the other side of the building that broke the window, you might have seen it with a 2x4. That was the Ukrainian film crew following a bunch of Ukrainian soldiers, basically, that opened that part of it up. And then, you know, you got John Sullivan, who videotaped or filmed the Ashley Babbitt
murder
incident.
Yeah.
I could talk about that one for a whole hour, because it's very suspicious the way that whole thing appears. Okay, because it's not what you're not seeing what you think you're seeing. You watch the film; it looks like, you know, it's very busy and very crowded. But then we have other videos down the hall that shows. It was just a bunch of people right at the partition, and the rest of the hall was almost empty. So, you know, and there's other things I can talk about it. But the point is, this is a setup. The whole thing was a setup, and it was a setup. Why would anybody set it up? Because you're not allowed, just like you're saying, you're not allowed to talk about it anymore, because everybody who believed that was the MAGA people getting out of control started having hate in their hearts for these people that were there to attack our Capitol building and there to attack the police and to do the things that they did. But that's not the way these people are. That's the way the left is.
Mm.
You know, we're not the ones that destroyed different cities the way we saw it shortly before that.
Yeah,
you know,
burning buildings and destroying businesses, that was totally peaceful, don't you know? All right. Well, we have gone in a totally different direction than I was anticipating, but this is fascinating. And I'd like, no. This is exactly what we would love to talk to you about. But let's take a break here, because there's a lot more to uncover here with Peter Tichtin. Stay with us. And welcome back. We're talking today to Peter Tichton. He's the founder and senior partner of the Tichton Law Group, a team of legal strategists and trial lawyers with offices across Florida. And they are litigating the case challenging the results of the Florida Congressional District 14, where they allege voter fraud happened. But that discussion has been a little bit waylaid as we've gotten into this discussion on January 6th. And there's so many questions here now as you're talking about this. Getting back to that Zoom call, can you give us any idea who exactly was on that call and were any of the media involved on that call?
I'm sorry, which call was that?
This is the Zoom call where you said they were planning the attack on the Capitol back in September of 2020.
Okay. So there was an infiltrator on our side who basically, there was no press. There was no, this was a very large but private meeting as to how they need to basically go into the Capitol on January 6th, you know, and the planning that was going to be needed for it and so on. These people were, this was planned in advance. What can I tell you? And there are people that are, that done things that are very suspicious in regard to it, such as Nancy Pelosi not taking the 10,000 troops that were offered to her,
right,
et cetera, et cetera. All right. I mean, there's so much that just doesn't add up and doesn't make sense about this. The same as there are things about the election that doesn't add up and doesn't make sense. I mean, they're actually trying to tell us that the camera in the Fulton County, Georgia voting headquarters, where they were counting the ballots, there's a camera on the ceiling looking down. They get everybody to leave the room, okay, except for four people. And on the basis of the fact that there's a water main that burst, there was no water main that burst.
Right.
But that was the lie. They get everybody to leave except for these four people. Once it's down to only those four people, the camera on the ceiling catches them pulling out suitcases that were hidden under the tables that had, you know, aprons around them so nobody could see them. And they pull out these suitcases, and in these suitcases, they're filled with ballots. And then you see them putting the ballots through the machines over and over again. And then they tell us that they had to do it because they weren't registering. They make up these crazy lies,
yeah,
as to how that could possibly be appropriate.
Right.
That, of course, we always keep extra ballots that we need to process under the tables out of view. Don't you know?
Yeah. And run them through multiple times as well.
Yes. I mean, it's, you know, and they tell us these things and we're supposed to believe them.
And yeah,
I mean, well,
and what was so troubling about that too was the media that saw that footage didn't bother to ask any questions. They just took their explanation at face value, and then it became gospel truth. And if you dare ask any questions about that or point that out, you're the conspiracy theorist.
No, worse than that, you're an election denier.
Yeah, well, that's the big one.
Yeah.
Getting back to that Zoom call, you had mentioned that you had that evidence. You had offered it to the attorneys that were trying Trump's case there in Colorado, because remember, Colorado was saying he couldn't be on the ballot because he was an insurrectionist. You know, I wish so much that they had taken that evidence, because there's evidence that this was planned by the other side. Trump wasn't the insurrectionist. It was this group of people that were the insurrectionists. So I don't understand their thinking on that, because had they been able to show, look, here's the actual conspiracy, it would not only have meant that Trump could have been on the ballot, but also then expose the insurrection for what it was, that it wasn't Trump.
Do you have any
thoughts?
And I
don't understand how that could have complicated the case. It proved the case.
These were not people that were loyal to Donald Trump. These were lawyers that were doing their job. They were hired. They did a good job in terms of doing what they needed to do for the law. But I don't think that they actually had love in their heart for Donald Trump. I think that they were actually, you know, left-wing people.
Huh.
I don't know, but that's the way they certainly sounded to me when I dealt with them or attempted to deal with them. And in fact, they wouldn't have even necessarily won on the law if it hadn't been for Trentus Evans, who didn't accept the fact that there was no, in the computers that we have now and the codification of all the statutes, he didn't believe that there was no actual statute that got passed as to how the 14th Amendment needed to work. So he actually went down to the Library of Congress, the physical Library of Congress, went there and searched the archives, and they found that statute. Hmm. And that's part of the reason that we were able to win in the Supreme Court in regard to the 14th Amendment, because of Trent Evans.
Well,
I don't know if people know who he is, but he's actually one of the January Sixers as well, but a true patriot.
Hmm. Well, getting back again to that Zoom call, does Bondi have access to that? Has she seen that evidence?
Yes.
And is she, you know, because I know a lot of people are frustrated with her right now, because from the outside looking in, it seems like she's dragging her feet and she's on Fox News all the time. And I think people are, and somewhat rightfully, saying, you know, where's the accountability? Nobody's being held accountable. If she's got evidence where these people are planning this insurrection on behalf of Democrats and to paint Trump as the insurrectionist, you know, why aren't any actions being taken? So does she have access to that?
I don't think so.
Hmm.
I mean, yes, she does. All she has to do is ask me for it, and it's hers. And we ourselves, you know, my law firm, I myself have plans to start making these things public. You know, I'm going to be working in that regard with the Gateway Pundit and also with Global Ascension Studios. And we're going to start making things public. We've got to start presenting these things, because otherwise they're going to disappear. Nobody's going to know what happened. And so that was, you know, I tell you something, there was one guy while January 6th was happening that had the presence of mind to make sure that the evidence was secured. And that was Rudy Giuliani.
Hmm.
And, you know, I mean, the guys, he's, you know, whether you like him or you don't like him, whatever, you can't deny his brain. You know, he knew what to do. He was the only one with that idea. And he got a girl named Millie Weaver to start securing all the evidence. But Millie Weaver was also the one that has this information. And we've been trying to present it for a long time.
Wow.
There's a lot of people that are behind the scenes that have helped America that nobody knows anything about.
Hmm. Well, we certainly saw that in the American Revolution. There's a lot of people helping George Washington out with his spy network. So I think to save America, it's probably going to be, again, a lot of people working behind the scenes that most people will never, ever hear about. Okay, we are way past our time here on this segment. So everyone stay with us. We'll continue this discussion with Peter Tichtin. And welcome back. This is the iSpy Radio Show. We're talking today to Peter Tichtin. He's the founder of the Tichtin Law Group, and he's also a longtime friend of President Trump, coming up through high school together. Peter Tichtin's website, if you'd like to get a hold of them, is legalbrains.com. That's legalbrains.com. So we had originally had you on to talk about your case there in Florida 14 and to get some updates, but you really sprang a surprise on us there with the January 6th discussion, and that has really taken up so much of this. As far as, you know, I'd asked you previously about that Zoom call in which there were, well, I'll just call them what they are, conspirators planning the insurrection there at the Capitol, but they were doing it in September 2020. And I asked you if Pam Bondi had access to that. You said she has not seen that yet. Has Trump seen that?
Donald Trump knows about it. Yeah, I've let him know.
And has he... I'm kind of surprised if he knows about it that he's not telling Bondi, you need to look at this and need to take some action, because I assume what they were doing, I don't know if that crosses the line of treason, but it certainly seems to be headed in that direction. Is it?
No, it's treason. These people have committed treason. There's no question that there really was an insurrection on January 6th, and there was an insurrection during the course of the election, and the last 4 years have been all a part of it. All these people that have been in power. I mean, I know, you know, there's a conundrum here. I mean, do you go after those people and look like you're weaponizing the Department of Justice like the bad guys did? But there's a big difference between going after crime and going after the person. And the bad guys, they went after the persons. And you have no idea how many people have been subjected to quote unquote justice. Okay, you have no idea how many people are contacting me, you know, needing help. pardons or clemency or whatever, people that have been, Andrew Weissman being one of the worst offenders that put so many people behind bars, and I'm talking about for political reasons, wrong reasons, not because they're criminals, but basically lying about the evidence, hiding evidence, et cetera, et cetera. What's been going on in this country is just mind-boggling in terms of the number of people. You know, and then you had the people that were involved in cyber currency. If they weren't doing what they needed to be doing, or if they had original ideas or whatever, they were being debanked.
Yes.
And if that was the trick, then they were being prosecuted. I mean, it's not just Donald Trump that got prosecuted. You know, they did so much for so long, so well. That's why they thought they could go against Donald Trump, because they were so full of themselves. They thought they could do it up on that level as well, and they couldn't.
Yeah.
So,
Well, it was shocking. It does not surprise me that you have all of these people contacting you for these abuses of justice. And that, to me, was the biggest shock about the whole Russia collusion thing, is that you had all of these agents at the top level of the FBI and the DOJ willing to go after Trump off of what they knew was fiction. And, I hate to say it, but I kind of think that Trump's communications teams blew that a little bit when it came to releasing the Crossfire Hurricane documents, because they released it on a Friday. Friday is when you don't want attention for stories. Mondays are when you want people to talk about it all week. And I think that just kind of died over the weekend. And yet, finally, I saw something in there that we had been talking about when that first broke, with the Durham investigation. In fact, it was on Fox News, for heaven's sakes, and yet somehow people totally missed it, where you have John Brennan's handwritten notes from a meeting in the White House with Biden and Obama and Clapper and Susan Rice was there, and I think a couple other people, in which he says in his notes that Hillary was planning on painting Trump with Russia collusion. And yet 3 days later, Crossfire Hurricane is open. I mean, it seems to me that if they knew that it was a Hillary political operation, everything that followed there, shouldn't that have been fruit of the poisonous tree?
Yeah. Well, the fact is that, I'm not sure if you're aware, but I'm the lawyer that filed the Clinton, the Donald Trump versus Hillary Clinton case, which involved actually 30 more defendants as well, like Deborah Wasserman Schultz, and Schiff and so on. So that's coming back. Okay, that right now is
good.
An appeal, and I'm not sure exactly what happened. Something a little bit unusual happened in the 11th Circuit, where they had a time when they were going to consider the case and have argument, and then it just got booted to be rescheduled for some reason. And I'm hoping all I can hope for is that we get a fair panel, because Judge Middlebrooks, by dismissing this case, on motion to dismiss, the way it works is if you file a complaint that's without any merit and on its face, then a judge could dismiss it. But even if it's full of lies, everything in the complaint has to be treated as though it's true. And Judge Middlebrooks, who is completely fed information by the media, knew that all of this couldn't be possibly true, because he believes what he's told by these people. And so without having any authority whatsoever in that way, he dismissed these cases, the whole case. And which is really phenomenal.
Well, it is so phenomenal. I guess what's so shocking to me about all of that Crossfire Hurricane is that they knew it was fake, and yet they were willing to use the power of government, the DOJ, which is supposed to be about justice. They're willing to go after Trump and all of those other people, and willing to put them in jail over a lie just to protect their power. So, all right, we are coming up on our final break here. Everyone stay with us. We'll pick this up with Peter Tichtin after this break. And welcome back. This is the iSpy Radio Show. We're in our final segment now with Peter Tichtin, and he is the founder of the Tichtin Law Group, and they've got offices all across Florida, and he is currently litigating the case in Florida 14, where they're challenging the results of that election. I think we're going to have you back on to get some updates on that, because this discussion about January 6th has been so fascinating. And you were saying during the break there that there's more to it, and that it's not just to protect their power.
Right, because that's what everybody thinks, that these are megalomaniacs that just, you know, want to protect power for the sake of power. And it's not like that. These aren't Superman villains. These are people who think that they're going to save the world. They are, you know, these people think the world is going to end due to global warming. You mentioned before that you're not allowed to ask about the jabs or the COVID so-called vaccine. And believe me, it's not just that they're similar, that you're not allowed to ask about the election fraud and you're not allowed to ask about the vaccinations, but they're also related. Okay, because you've got, you know, if you look at the at what the World Economic Forum is all about and what their purposes are and how much control they have of everything. I mean, they've got of the 2,400 billionaires or so that we have in the world, they have almost all of them signed up. And when they sign up, they've got to basically pledge about pledge 30% of what they hold for the purposes of the World Economic Forum. So it's not as though they say, hey, give us that money. They don't get the money. But they say, hey, Jeff, we need you to buy the Washington Post. Okay. And so, I mean, there's a way that they bought up all the media. Okay. It's bought and sold. It's not as though these people got convinced that, you know, let's go to the more clever way of seeing the truth. They lie. And they lie for a purpose. Yeah. They lie for the same reasons that Goebbels lied in the 1930s and 40s.
Right.
So, you know.
We've been talking about this insurrection by, it was the Democrats that did this, not the MAGA people. And I guess as I look at this, I think a lot of people are willing to at least, you know, either believe or at least entertain the possibility that the CIA or powers that be within the government back in the 1960s were willing to kill JFK. And there's some at least indications that maybe they were involved in that. So if you're willing to believe that there was an insurrection there, why is it so hard for people to believe that this was also an insurrection here and that they'd really be willing and able to rig a national election? I don't understand that disconnect there.
Well, it's sort of, you know, like the movie that Al Gore put out, An Inconvenient Truth. It's a great expression, a good movie title, but it's also what's going on. These are inconvenient truths. Who wants to believe that we're actually sitting in a situation where China is actually attacking the United States by sending over a virus or by sending over fentanyl to actually kill our young people? Who wants to believe that? Who wants to deal with that? It's so much easier just to believe that, oh, no, they wouldn't. And so, you know, we're living in a fantasy because the truth is getting to be harder and harder to swallow because it's just so extreme. And the fact that we are sitting now in a situation where they actually relinquish power, that's their biggest mistake. Because now we're going ahead. We're going to be able to find out what really happened. We're able to look at the computers. We're able to see that the voter rolls are corrupted entirely with all kinds of hidden voters in there that they can pull out and vote. Donald Trump had it right. And if you think about the numbers, he had it right that it had to be too big to rig. And that's why he won. And that's why, I mean, I understand in the state of Florida, every single county on the mail-in votes, Trump lost, Scott lost, and Mario lost. Well, on the mail-ins. And yes, there was enough to override all of that. And they ultimately, they won the election. But the people that they were downvoted, such as our client, you know, Robert Rockford, Rocky, lost. Yeah. And many others lost.
Well, unfortunately, we've got less than 2 minutes. I'm going to try to squeeze in two quick questions here. Tulsi Gabbard had announced on April 11th, a cabinet meeting, that they now have evidence that voting machines are vulnerable to hackers. Is that what you saw there within Florida, that, yes, these machines were being hacked?
No, I didn't see that at all in terms of this investigation, but I saw it on election night on the 20th. I saw the numbers of votes that Donald Trump had in many situations. I saw the numbers actually decrease. Now, I can see how your percentage can decrease, but there's no way in the world that your number of votes can decrease. And yet that was happening across the board to some extent. So that had to be something to do. Well, it would seem logical that it would have something to do with the computers.
Well, I certainly,
I mean, how else could it be done?
Yeah, I certainly think that's an open avenue that needs to be explored. And I'm really curious as to where that's going to lead. Real quick before we leave, you're actually involved in defending some of these January 6th people. Can you talk to us about that really quick?
Really quick? Yes. I'm helping the January 6th people. I've aligned myself with Mark McCluskey. You know, he and his wife held off the BLM people in St. Louis, you may remember, with his AR-15 and his wife's handgun. Well, we are working together with the U.S. government who wants to help these people. And if you're involved, if you're a January 6er, what I would call a patriot, and you had bad things happen to you at all from January 6th, go to me and email me. It's PT, my initial PT, like PT boat, PT@legalbrains.com.
Okay,
it's
great.
Easy as that. PT@legalbrains.com.
Okay, and we'll put that up on iSpyRadio.com as well. Peter, I want to thank you so much for your time. We're definitely looking forward to having you back.
Well, it's really a pleasure. Somehow you get it all out of me. You get me going.
That email address, one more time for Peter Ticton, is pt@legalbrains.com, pt@legalbrains.com. And in case you missed that, we'll put that up on today's show page, which is 15-17 on iSpyRadio.com. If you or someone you know was a January 6th defendant, but you're still facing persecution of one sort or another, things like not receiving VA benefits, including medical care, on no-fly lists, and terror watch lists even, if you know anyone subjected to any of that, get in touch with Peter Ticton. A quick announcement, be sure to tune in next week as we are joined by Scott McEwen, the best-selling co-author of American Sniper, and mark your calendars, he will be having a book signing event at the Main Street Mercantile in Aurora. That will be Saturday, May 17th at 5:30 p.m., and we're going to talk more about that next week. You know, people on that Zoom call really ought to come forward. Now is not the time to be silent, and instead go to the Department of Justice with evidence of the planning, who else was involved, and what all happened, because you will be trusted far, far more and get a lighter sentence if you come forward on your own, before you're forced to come forward through warrants and subpoenas. That's part of how trust is built. Repentance is not just good for the soul, it's a good way to keep yourself out of jail. Because as we say every week, the best information does you no good if you don't use it. Reagan, what do you think?
I do not believe in a fate that will fall on us no matter what we do. I do believe in a fate that will fall on us if we do nothing.
It's more than a show. It's self-defense. The I Spy Radio Show.